radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're not going to stick on this too long, but Jim Schlossnagel, the head coach of Texas A&M baseball, was a little salty when asked if he's potentially taking the Texas job at his press conference after Tennessee took down the Aggies in the College World Series last night 6-5. Did you know that while at TCU on May 24th, 2021, he was asked about the A&M job? Do you know what he said, Joe? Quote, "I have no interest in any other job," end quote.
Oh, shocker. Like, we're having this argument with the Twitch, and like they're arguing that the fans don't care. I guess I strongly disagree. Aggie fans don't care.
Fans of Texas do care.
I think Aggie fans do care.
I think Aggie fans would care if their coach left.
The Aggies, like TCU fans, I bet you if you looked at this story and looked at the replies, all would be like, "That's my coach. He's not leaving." And then, yeah, they get pissed after when he actually leaves. But I think the teams that like you root for, you do care.
The people who are pushing back on whether or not you're allowed to ask the question, I think, are looking at it through these lenses. I think you're looking at it from the perspective of, well, the only people who are going to be asking Schlossnagel, I have to read it every single time I see it, these questions should be people who cover the Aggies. And you're going to ask Aggie-focused questions. Well, this is somewhat Aggie-focused, but at the same time, if you are somebody who covers Texas baseball and you're there, you're at the College World Series, this is question number one that you have to ask, no matter how awkward it is, and they got an answer. We'll see if he actually stays true to his word.
The reporter who asked is a reporter who works for Texax.
There you go.
Because they think it's important to their readers.
Yeah. He apparently ran it by Billy Lucci. It was like, "Can I ask this question?" And Billy Lucci said yes. They should have asked King of Twitch if it was okay to ask. But they just, I guess he didn't text back in time or something.
I think it is so soft how protective people are being about asking that question right after a loss. Guess what? Questions like this get asked after losses all the time. Because generally, at the end of a season, change is coming, whether it's in the roster or it's in the people who were there. Yes, it sucks to get asked that question right after an L. It does.
But
it's not like these questions should be out of bounds, I think.
Yeah, like King of Twitch says, like, and I agree with this. He says, "The guy just put his heart and soul into coaching and a team loss. You don't see it as a little subhuman." Okay,
subhuman.
Here's the thing. I get where you're coming from. Okay? He just lost. It sucks that you have to be asked that question. But it's part of the job. It's part of the job. It is the only job in which this happens, of course. But it happens everywhere. It's whether it's pro, college, high school, this is what happens. Maybe it shouldn't happen this way. You can make that argument, but this is the way it works. When your season ends, you get asked tough questions.
Yeah.
It should not matter when your season ends. If they didn't make the playoffs, they would have asked this question. If they would have won the College World Series, they would have asked this question. When your season ends, these are the questions that get asked.
"Hey, Coach, I hope you're in the right mental headspace to ask this question, because mental health is what's most important here, and you don't have to answer this. But you might leave in the middle of the night to our biggest rival. Thoughts?"
Here's the thing. He did preface his question in a way where he was trying, I think, to be empathetic to Schlossnagel, whose name is... I'm sorry, it's funny to me. 832 texts in, "A fair question, but not 20 minutes after losing the championship. You don't ask a widow at the funeral if she's now available to go out."
I've seen Wedding Crashers. That's an extreme example, but...
Chaz and Wedding Crashers would beg to disagree, but I think that's also totally different. Look, they lost. No one died. Brad's got a thought. 713-780-3776. Brad, what's up?
Guys, when was the last time... And by that, I would mean the first time that any coach ever answered that question with, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm packing my bags and getting ready to go now." Nobody ever answers that question. It's stupid to ask it. Whoever answered that question, ever.
It's a good point, Brad. I would say the closest that we've seen is probably when Gerrit Cole was asked about his future while wearing a Scott Boras hat after the 2019 World Series.
Then all you guys just think they need to cancel the press conference, okay? Because that's the thing. Then tell your soft coaches to hide. Because, like, you get mad at, like, the media or people asking questions. But what about the coach in the women's tournament this last year who got forced to go up there to the podium, who had already been fired? So the first question was, what do you think about your future here? And she goes, I won't be here. It happened in the men's tournament, too. So, like, maybe the issue is the schools and the fact that they're holding these press conferences. But then what you guys would say is these coaches are cowards when you're not being little fanboys over them because they're hiding from the media. Like, that's the difference. It's part of the way it works. You get asked questions about the future of your job at the end of the season, whether you win or you lose. That's what happens at the end of a year press conference. Plain and simple.
.5 makes a programming change, and you guys aren't allowed to talk about it for 2 or 3 weeks until the new person gets there. What if we call in and say, hey, we heard a rumor there's a new show starting up, and we heard 6 or 7 of you guys are getting canned. Ooh. What can you tell us about that?
This is actually
are you guys
going to
say anything about it? Are you told don't say a word, nothing, until the new people get here?
Brad, these are good questions. It actually does vary station to station. I'll say this. If it happens, I feel like as a station, you do have to talk about it. And I know that right after we had the changes.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I talked about it on my show to lead off.
Yeah. Now, like, I didn't talk about it when I knew that it was happening.
But it does vary.
That's my job. I'm almost like the SID, I would say. Like, the SID and the athletic director are not the ones answering this question.
Did you have a propaganda answer? Or did you have a straight answer?
Well, Barefoot Sports Media took it as a propaganda answer. Because we hadn't talked about it yet on social media, so they ran with that thing.
Those are good questions by Brad. I appreciate them.
Look, Brad's right, and that's what I said earlier. It's the only job in which you are required to answer about your future. We do not ask a Coca-Cola executive about if he's going to Pepsi at the end of his year performance review. That's not what happens. Because no one cares.
We care should get to ask the president that. No offense to any presidents out there who might be listening. We got a lot of presidents in our audience. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it as well. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or get after us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. The Rockets are big game hunting. Are they really going after these names? And what's the latest as we get closer to the NBA draft tomorrow? It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You are listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
People still want to weigh in on the do's and don'ts of journalism. Was that question asked of Texas A&M head baseball coach Jim Schlossnagle after Texas lost to Tennessee in the College World Series? Was it inbounds or out of bounds? Sean, can we play it again to refresh it for everybody? Because there's a bunch of people that still want to weigh in. Here he is, the head coach of the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies, being asked a question that I feel like is a very fair one to be asked.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job. And I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
I love it at the end.
I think it's a great answer.
the thing is, I thought he was a bit of a hardo, saying, I left my family for this job. We've also seen him, when asked about leaving the TCU job for the Texas A&M job, say he wasn't leaving A&M, leaving for A&M, only to leave for Texas A&M. And also, the follow-up question to that would have been, hey, Montgomery, are you signing to get into the draft? That's the next follow-up question. That's the next follow-up question. Enough with this college. College needs to be coddled stuff. The question can be asked, and he can answer it, or doesn't have to answer it. That's how it goes. I understand that maybe covering college sports should be different than professional sports, but when the guy who is the head coach of the Aggie baseball team is making the money that I'm sure he does to coach that team, because money supposedly isn't an issue in Aggieland, that question is very, very fair, no matter how much he doesn't like it. Craig has a thought on this at 713-780-3776. Craig, what's up?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. He blew it last night. Schwarzenegger, when they asked him that question, he could have got a multi-million-dollar raise by saying, there's no way in hell I would stoop so low to coach the T-tips. There's no amount of money in the whole world that would make me even think about going to TU. And that's the end of that question. They'd give him a multi-million-dollar raise today if he'd have said something like that.
Okay. Craig, maybe they would have. Honestly, he could have been even more coy. I don't know. Pull a Garrett Cole. Maybe he would have gotten a raise for that.
Yeah. I'll do what's best for me.
Imagine if answering that right after losing.
I mean, that'd be
well, no, he has his agency hat, and he's like, listen, I'll listen.
I kind of wish he did. Again, he said the exact right answer for, I imagine, Texas A&M fans. I do not think this question was out of bounds. I can understand why some think that, but I do think it's a tad soft to believe that a question like that was prefaced by that reporter with, like, hey, with respect to what just happened,
what's next? What's more out of bounds? The question itself or supposedly the athletic director of another school flying to meet with the coach while he's in the College World Series? So let's say the story is 100% true. That means that this coach that some people are so adamantly trying to defend, instead of preparing for the College World Series, was meeting with the University of Texas.
Where did you see that rumor?
Huh? It's all over.
It's all over? Okay.
That's why he was asked.
I wasn't sure if it was now, just UT being UT and cocky and assuming, like, oh, well, the Aggies got something good. Let's steal it.
I will say the two candidates for the job were the A&M coach and the Tennessee coach, which is the most Texas baseball thing alive.
Yeah. Now, if the report's not 100% valid, and I do think that the reporter owes it to the coach in question to verify that Chris Del Conte is there in Omaha, because if he's not, it is a false rumor, and you don't need to ask the coach that question. It is a garbage question if it's not true. But if there's some validity to it, then yeah, I think it's valid to ask it. And to me, if the coach really, if he did meet with Chris Del Conte, University of Texas, then you absolutely should be asked that question because you suck. Like, I despise coaches that do this, that are in season and meeting, like, whether even if you're just prepping for a bowl game, be committed to your team or leave. Like, I appreciate, like, at least Brian Kelly left Notre Dame. I don't even like the idea that they should stick around and coach a bowl game. If you're going to abandon your school while your season's not even over or talk to other people, I think you suck. It's like, that's why I think the question is really valid. It's because the coaches are being disrespectful to the school, to the players, because they're trying to pretend like they're all about school and rah-rah this and rah-rah that. And the reality is they're just serving themselves. That's why they deserve to get challenged.
Largo comments, Joe, everyone knows Schloss isn't going to answer that question truthfully regardless. So the question only functions to make the media member who asks it think very highly of themselves. Like, clean that up.
Okay, so then that's like talking about The Athletic whoever wrote that Astros thing yesterday. The reason why they write it, yes, it's for clicks. But you dumbs, read it. Like, Aggies fans are going to read it. I'm sorry. That's why the question gets asked. The question gets asked because the people read it. Maybe you guys are all right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
They're not dumbs.
No, but the people who, like, you all read it. You read the clicks. That's why they're clicks.
But come on. Like, clickbait is clickbait. We are all guilty of clicking on clickbait.
But they're all going to read it.
We're not all dumbs.
No, they're not all dumbs. I love you guys. But you read it for a reason, because either you care or, like, they're going to read the story because it matters to them. That's why the question's asked. Because Aggie fans want to read that response. They want to hear that response.
There's also a level of, like, there's no way he's going to answer that honestly. So you should only ask questions that you know will be answered, that the subject is comfortable answering. So you should only ask softball questions is what you're asking. Like, that's what you're saying, is you should only ask questions when you know the response. You will get a response that will not offend anyone. Which is a great way to ask boring-ass questions.
Yeah, I mean, look.
It's how you stay in a job in a college town.
Like I said, like I think he gave a great answer. Like, if I'm an Aggie, I love that answer.
And therefore I will coach Texas A&M next year.
I love it.
You could have asked for that.
I love it for now. I don't know if I believe it.
I don't believe it. I never believe a college coach.
No,
it's not this specific example. I never, ever, ever believe a college coach unless it was Nick Saban.
After my favorite version of this is after Bedlam, OU, Oklahoma State. Lincoln Riley was asked about the LSU job that was open after they fired Coach Ogeron. And he said, quote, "I will not be the next LSU coach." And everyone's like, boom, he's staying. He's safe. The next morning, he took the USC job.
Hell yeah.
Told the truth.
That's why you ask. Because you get moments like that. And, like, ultimately, isn't that what you want, is to have entertaining, dramatic moments like that? Like, I guess some people don't. I guess some people only want to watch their favorite team play. But OU fans got to hate Lincoln Riley so much more because he basically head-faked that he was staying for no reason.
Dab asked, why does the media hate the Aggies so much? This isn't an Aggies thing.
No, I brought up an Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is, if this was the Tennessee coach last night, it's the same thing, you know, in the situation. Now, if Tennessee's coach is reportedly being interested in this or being pursued by Texas, then yeah, he probably should have been asked the question too. I don't know if he was, but typically the losing coach is the only one that really gets asked these questions.
I mean, the winning coach can be asked this question too. It's
for sure.
The rumors were that Schlossnagel supposedly talked with the people at Texas. And that's why the question got asked. Okay, I'm sorry. We've been beating this topic to death. Really quickly, hey, you might not have won the College World Series, but Texas A&M is the toughest place to play in NCAA football 2025.
We buy that?
Number one.
Do you buy that?
You're pushing back. Why? Where's better? Tougher?
My initial, when I saw it, was LSU. And they're number three on this list. I haven't had the chance to go yet to a lot of these stadiums, so that's where it is harder.
I feel like Aggie really fans are more likely to show up for a game against a team that's not a headliner than LSU fans are, and nothing against the LSU people, because it surely is a fun place to watch a game, but I'm just going to say, no offense to you Tigers fans, this is why I identify with you. I'm sure a lot of Tigers fans don't make it in the stadium.
Part too hard.
It's Louisiana, baby. The most fun people on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of LSU fans make it into the stadium. I think some take a little nappy poo in the car in the tailgate lot.
Number two on their list was Bryant Denny Stadium for Alabama. Mm-hmm.
That's also a bad one. Yeah. It's a tough place to play for the last 15 years.
Because of Nick Saban.
Because of who's on the field.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's not some crazy environment. Like, I don't know.
Penn State should have been higher up on this list, I think, than Bryant Denny Stadium. I feel like...
The Swamp's probably too loud.
Yeah, the Swamp's... these days, not so much.
Well, I mean, there's a... Texas A&M is 24-20 at Kyle Field against SEC teams since joining the conference. Like, they're four games over 500 at home against SEC teams.
But I feel like it's loud and it does have an actual, like, true home field advantage. I actually buy into the idea of the 12. Okay, fine. But they still have a clear home field advantage. I'm not being sarcastic here. I've gone to the game at Texas A&M at Kyle Field, and that was before they added the stadium renovation. Holy crap. It's unlike anything I have been to as far as feeling like the crowd is behind you in a way that I feel like at other colleges it's tough to. And obviously college football, that's what makes college football better. The in-game experience of a college football game is so much better than that of an NFL game. Some of the other ones that are a little bit low on the list, I was surprised Neyland Stadium for Tennessee is that low. Neyland Stadium can fit like 110,000 people in there.
That's probably a recent history of success that kind of they fall down the list.
Yeah,
I
wonder if it is, yeah, the pre- like 2021 seasons are kind of dragging their average down.
That could be it. 19 DKR, Sean Mapes. Do you buy that? I don't. I don't think it should be top 25.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, I've been there. It's fun. Don't get me wrong, but I don't feel like the UT crowd is the same kind of intimidating crowd that some of the ones that are ahead of them are. That's for sure.
Yeah, but that's why. Think like what you think like below them. It's Iowa, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Arkansas, Boise State.
Maybe it's because I can only see the 25 in front of me. But I feel like there are some other ones where it would be a little bit louder on a regular basis.
I do think this list, the way that the game is making this, they picked the biggest stadiums, and specific moments. Like I've been to a Wisconsin game, at Camp Randall. It's not that great. Jump around is awesome. The rest of the game, maybe it's because they're not always that exciting in football games, is not that great. It's kind of a snoozer. When there's big moments, it's real loud, but it's not just like consistently loud. You could have put Mississippi State higher just because the cowbells are annoying. Because they just do it more.
Yeah, the cowbells drive me crazy, yeah, but they're great.
That would drive me nuts if I was there.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle
it. It's tough to like watch a game.
My high school football team, we had cowbells in our crowd, and it made no sense because we're this like ritzy cake-eating private school in St. Pete, Florida, and we have cowbells in the stands. Made no sense. But hey.
They're just because they're annoying.
Yeah, crowd performance-enhancing drugs.
That's it. You know what? Sometimes when I was tackling guys going over the middle, I did feel motivated by that cowbell. Really, get along, little doggy.
Just a little bit louder.
Just got you going.
Got me going a little more. 72 days away from the start of the NFL season. We got to remember everyone's favorite, number 72, with a little John Madden action. And on top of that, oh boy, things are not going so hot in Jero World per one of our friends. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
72 days away from the start of the NFL season. Did you know that Dan Dierdorf, who was not the best color commentator during his time on CBS, was a number 72 with the Arizona Cardinals? I had no idea what Dan Dierdorf played position-wise.
I didn't either.
Until today. Cowboy great Ed Too Tall Jones, also a great number 72. But everyone's favorite number 72 is William the Refrigerator Perry of the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Absolutely.
Touchdown. Well, he got that new move. You know, he used to just run in there. Now he has this deal where he's going to dive. Boom, boom, boom. Clap. Both feet. He just goes right up over.
I miss John Madden so much.
So much.
The fridge. Remember when the Texans went fridge mode with J.J. Watt?
Oh, yeah. The Watt cat.
Well, that one wasn't good. And usually they threw him the football. I think the Watt cat was the only time that...
It was like a total disaster?
They had him. Did they snap it to him? I forget what happened. I've tried to block that one out of my memory, that awful 2015 Texans-Chiefs playoff game where they lost 30-0.
I thought it was like a dive play.
I think it was...
He's at quarterback. He took a direct
snap.
Oh,
God.
He's Bill. Like 5 or 6 yards into the backfield.
Bill.
He didn't even make it to the line of scrimmage.
Bill. And then they fumbled the next play, right?
I believe so.
Fumble or interception, I forget. Oh, boy. Yeah, Bill. Well, I don't know what the hell Bill was thinking in that game. That was one of the more rough Texans playoff defeats, of which there have been many. Let's go up the road, I-45, to Dallas, to Jero World, technically Arlington. Per Tyler Dunn, our friend who joins the show from time to time, the Go Long Football Substack, Mike McCarthy is beginning to get, quote, fed up, end quote, with owner Jerry Jones. McCarthy's doing it the best he can, said one close to the situation. Some of the people I've talked to have said he's getting fed up with it a little bit.
I'm not surprised. I mean, as much as we clown on McCarthy, he's a Super Bowl winning coach. And you have an owner who's meddling in everything he probably can. That's why the Bill Belichick thing to me never makes sense. Like, I think to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you have to be a Jason Garrett kind of coach who's really just glad they have a job.
Mike McCarthy at this point in his career, though, should be glad he has a job.
Probably. But
it's not to say McCarthy's a bad coach, but McCarthy is one of many coaches who's been around for a while and you like him, but you could probably do better than him.
Yeah. Is this like the it's not you, it's me when the eventual breakup happens of Mike McCarthy was never happy in Dallas, even though he got fired?
Well, that's the best way to get another job somewhere else.
Is to blame everything on Jerry.
It's an easy thing to blame because generally everybody is going to believe you. When you say that Jerry Jones was a difficult person to work with, well, look at the best coach the Cowboys have had in the last 30 years, Jimmy Johnson, and how things ended for him up there.
I will say I don't think McCarthy will coach again, though.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, he had a couple years off between Green Bay and Dallas.
He did.
Like it's not like he got fired in Green Bay and they were lining up to hire him right away.
He did win a Super Bowl. If Dan Quinn can get another job, I think he can. And look, it might be unfair to Marty Schottenheimer to compare Mike McCarthy to Marty Schottenheimer, but Schottenheimer always did well in the regular season. McCarthy has done well in the regular season with the Cowboys. He has.
Yeah. I mean, it was only 2 years, but
it has not been bad for Dallas with Mike McCarthy. It has been completely fine. It has not been any better than I imagine what they expected. I don't know if you can hire Mike McCarthy and seriously tell people, yeah, we're here to win Super Bowls when you're bringing him in. But if the goal of Mike McCarthy was to maintain relevance, they have maintained relevance. I'm sure that for Jerry Jones, in the eyes of him, he thought, okay, they can get a little bit further, but yeah, I think there's a ceiling with Mike McCarthy.
McCarthy is probably the guy to take a bad franchise to make them solid. And then you fire him to try to get to a Super Bowl. Like, you know, he takes over the Saints and gets them back to being a good football team and rebuilding that thing. But when it's time to try to take that next step as a franchise, you're probably moving on from Mike McCarthy. He's the guy to get you to the guy.
He could be someone else's Lovie Smith, is what you're saying?
Maybe a little bit better.
Better than Lovie Smith.
A little bit better.
But just like,
at least he's got energy.
When he gets hired, the local reports are like, you know, he's just bringing a professional atmosphere back to insert city here.
You know, the other thing in this story that I think was lost for a moment. Oh, Mike McCarthy's fed up. Doesn't look like it is. That's a
fat joke.
Fat joke. Oh. Yeah.
Are you allowed to make those?
I think you should be.
As a skinny?
Yeah, I think I should be. I eat healthy, and okay, I work out 5 to 6 days a week.
Fair.
Feel like everybody should be on their own path to personal fitness. The 49ers are set to meet with 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk today. Last week, you might have seen in a, I guess, conversation he was having over TikTok with Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels that the 49ers don't want him back. So I don't know what these talks are supposed to be, but Ryan Clark of ESPN, who is certainly connected to David Miligeta clients, has reported that there will be some sort of conversation today. He is under contract for the fifth year of his rookie deal. He wants $30 million or more a year and has skipped the 49ers' entire offseason program. The 49ers, of course, drafted a wide receiver in the first round in these past NFL drafts.
Here's what the end game is here for both sides. Is it to try to just, like, I'm sure the 49ers want the T. Higgins resolution here, right? Just get him to show up. Hey, well, you can move on after the season. But if I'm Ayuk, I do understand the idea of wanting to get paid right now. What if you get hurt? Like, get your bag now before you hit free agency. And if you know, you tear your ACL in week 10, what happens to your contract in the offseason? So
if they hadn't drafted Ricky Pearson out of Florida with the 31st pick, I bet he would feel a little bit more comfortable in this situation. But since the 49ers gave themselves a theoretical replacement for Ayuk, I can see why the 49ers aren't going to play ball here.
Could you just swap T. Higgins for Brandon Ayuk? Trade your unhappy receivers?
Yeah, but if you're the Bengals, I mean, you got to pay him. And if you're Brandon Ayuk, do you believe the Bengals are going to pay you?
No. But at least you'll be, like, I feel like he would just still be happier on a one-year deal on a different team.
I don't know. If I could be on the Bengals or 49ers for this year, I would want to be on the 49ers because the NFC is easier and you just made the Super Bowl last year. You've made it a couple of times with Kyle Shanahan running the show. You made it with Brock Purdy. You got the best defense. You got the best offensive skill players. I'd want to be on that team. More so than I'd want to be in Cincinnati where what's going to happen next? I'm just going to get franchise tagged like T. Higgins did?
I assume that they're not going to trade him, and he's just going to have to play unhappy.
Yeah, we shall see.
I feel like the trade would have already happened.
You would have thought that somebody would be a little bit more aggressive. I really did think that the Houston Texans theoretically would sneak in here, but since they did what they did with Stephon Diggs' contract where they took that last year, those last years off of the deal, and he's playing for it all in 1 year, and then they extended Nico Collins, maybe that was never actually a possibility. But I think Ayuk would have been a great fit here and probably would have been a better asset to the Texans this coming season than Stephon Diggs. Anyway, that's our NFL countdown. We are 72 days away from the start of the NFL season. Coming up next, I did not think that we would get as much press conference talk as we have had today. Obviously talking about Jim Schlossnagel, the Texas A&M Aggies baseball coach, but also J.J. Redick's introductory press conference with the L.A. Lakers was really overanalyzed. And my question for you, do you like J.J. Redick? Because he has become, once again, the same kind of polarizing figure he was at Duke. We'll discuss that next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Nothing really else to bet on anymore these days, right? Wrong! MyBookie.ag is your one-stop shop for everything gambling. Whether you want to play a game of cards with a live dealer, blackjack, poker, or maybe at MyBookie.ag, you want to bet on the baseball. The Houston Astros back in action tonight. You ready? Are you ready to play Astros baseball? Who says it's only a game? They're playing the Colorado Rockies tonight. You've had a day off. You're hoping that the bullpen, which has been very, very worked over the weekend, even though you saw what Framber Valdez was able to do and what Ronel Blanco were able to do on Sunday and Saturday, respectively. They're not dealing with a lot of depth right now. Are you feeling like the Astros are going to put away the Colorado Rockies tonight? Well, guess what? They're 1.5 run favorites. And if you want to bet on them, you can do it at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET. 975. Actually, look at this. The Astros 1.5 run dogs with Hunter Brown on the hill. The over-under for the game is 8-2. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They will match your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 if you enter that code. Or if you're already somebody who uses MyBookie.ag, you'll get an awesome bonus yourself. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a f***.
Language, J.J. Redick. He's back
unprofessional
to Duke villain mode. It was rather unprofessional. A lot of people were pushing back on that part of the press conference, Joe.
Was it really necessary, as Will Kunkel asks?
It's fair to ask if the F-bomb was necessary. It did come off as a little bit try-hard. But I also think it's weird how up in arms we get over language. And I say this, yes, as somebody who is doing a show on a medium where the government prevents us from saying certain things. And I've accepted that. I play with it a little bit, but I've accepted that.
Just a little bit.
Play with it a little bit.
We did an intentional dump on Friday.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the dump button, when you press that, basically it erases everything that's been said on the air for a couple of seconds. And you know why you do that? You do that if you cussed. I may have or may not have dropped an F-bomb on Friday.
You know, it's funny because it's just such a part of, like, normal language now.
Yeah.
When you meet people, you know, I understand. Like, I always think back to the Eric Bieniemy story that Aaron Wilson told, that the reason why he didn't get the Falcons job was because he was dropping F-bombs left and right to Arthur Blank and was unprofessional. That's different. That's an interview for a job. This is just talking to the media. If you listen to any podcast JJ does, it's just not surprising. It's the way people talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, listening to, like, his podcast, like, this, it's just how he talks. Like, he just doesn't censor himself, like, in that way. Like, he'll drop F-bombs very comfortably.
I feel like people should feel comfortable speaking the way that they normally speak when they're in a setting like this. And you're right, to the point of, was this the job interview? Oh, no. But even then, it's a word. It's weird to me that people get so bent out of shape by swear words as if they are some horrible, horrible, horrible thing. They're words. But some people don't like to hear them. Fine. I am trying to work on that in my own personal life to cuss a little bit less. But everyone is overanalyzing the bleep. Look at that. Of J.J. Redick's press conference to introduce him as head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Yesterday, he also dropped this doozy, saying that he never spoke with LeBron James about the vacant head coaching gig.
He didn't provide any advice. LeBron and I did not talk about the Lakers job until Thursday afternoon, about 30 minutes after I was offered the job. And that was very intentional on both our parts. You know, I knew I had an understanding that he did not want to be involved in this. And for me, I didn't want to go down the path of hypotheticals with someone that I consider a friend and someone that I have a great amount of respect for. So for us, it just came down to literally Thursday afternoon. And I talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes and got off the phone. That was it.
Do you buy that?
No. No, no, no.
No one should buy that.
I don't buy it at all.
I was that member in the media who made the "Whoa!" noise when Redick said that he never talked to LeBron about that.
There's just no way because of what – it's not even Redick. It's the LeBron side of it. Like, LeBron is so involved in everything an organization he's part of does. You know, it's – they don't – he just doesn't act that way. He free agency, coaches, firing them, hiring them. He's always part of everything. I don't buy that at all. No chance.
It's like possible that Redick and LeBron didn't specifically talk about will you be the head coach of the Lakers, but I would think that it's something you don't even need to talk about with, like, if, like you said, they are friends. They did a show together. That speaks to how comfortable LeBron is being with and talking with and spending time and talking basketball with J.J. Redick. He obviously respects his basketball ideas. So I don't think there actually needs to be a J.J. Redick-LeBron conversation about being the Lakers coach. I think that's more of a LeBron-Rob Pelinka-Jeannie Buss conversation, and then they have the conversation with J.J. Redick. I don't think Redick was like, I don't know, LeBron, do you think I should take the job? Do you want me to take the job, LeBron? Like, that does, I think that conversation doesn't even need to happen.
I mean, Windhorst said it perfectly. The whole podcast was basically an audition. And they were breaking down Lakers sets of, like, what was happening in the game and what was going wrong in basketball games. And it was basically just a 6-month verbal audition.
I love that. JJ, right? I love that. I love that for LeBron too. Just being like I want to get to know my next coach. See if he's got what it takes. And then like, yep, all right, looks good. Like, move him up on the line. You know, my mistake is when they hired Darvin Ham, I didn't do this. I should have done a podcast with Darvin Ham. Wouldn't be in this situation. Mm.
The other part of this that's being discussed is the fact that Redick got this job because he is a name. And I suppose that questioning the qualifications of J.J. Redick is fair. He's not just a podcaster. He did play in the NBA for a decade plus. He does happen to be one of the most recognizable players in basketball, largely due to his time, I would say, at college basketball, but also the fact that he has gone from being a NBA player to an NBA content creator to the lead color commentator for the most important NBA games of the season. So he does have an elevated profile. This is a annoying dynamic of life, not just the coaching world, but very often the biggest names, especially in our field, are going to get the gig, regardless of qualifications.
Yeah.
It's the sexy, splashy hire. I will say with Redick, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to be one of these people who right away says, oh, this isn't going to work.
No, I don't understand why people, like what he needed a year of coaching experience for you. Because the people who are praising the Portland Trailblazers last year for hiring a Chauncey Billups, even though that didn't start off very well, and it was kind of a disaster from the minute he talked to the media from the first time. But people were like thought it was a good hire that Chauncey Billups got hired last year. He was an assistant for 1 year with the Clippers before he got the head coaching job in Portland. Like, what, 1 year of being the Rockets bench coach would have made J.J. Redick super qualified to be the head coach of the Lakers?
That's what's funny. Is some
like,
people
it's so
think
stupid.
Some people think that's the case. And, okay, maybe a little bit more, but NBA coaches, I mean, guess what? If it doesn't work out, you're going to be gone quickly no matter what. Like, they have the shortest shelf life of any coach in sports.
It's also, like, different than, like, a football coach where there's so many moving parts and there's so much you have to manage that – It would be hard for, say, like a Josh McCown to walk in and be an NFL head coach without any experience. But, yeah, when it's basketball, it's like he played in the league. He knows how the – and he played on good teams in the league. He played on a Orlando team that made the finals. He played on a whole bunch of Clippers team that went deep in the playoffs. Like, he knows what it's all about. And – ultimately, NBA coaching is like, are you a complete moron with X's and O's? No. Okay, good start. Do your players absolutely hate your guts? No. All right. You're going to stick around for a while until you lose in the second round 2 years in a row. Then you're probably gone.
That to me is like is the number one requirement to be an NBA coach these days. Is that the players have to like you.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like, respect you.
Yeah, Steve Nash. The fact that Kyrie Irving and the Nets players were having practices after Nash would leave because they didn't like the way it was going, that's really why he got fired.
And on the other side of things, Jason Kidd, who looked really bad at his job not too long ago, somehow figured out how to make it work with Luka and Kyrie, and all of a sudden, his team was playing in the NBA Finals. It really just goes up and down whether or not your coaching style is working in the NBA. It's just so damn quick. So I would just tell that to anybody who's already prejudging what J.J. Redick's going to do.
And like, there's little bits of like rotation management and stuff like that. But ultimately, what it is, it's like when we talk about Joe Espada every three games. Well, actually, we don't talk about him anymore because they're winning. Is that... ultimately, like, what needs to happen for the Lakers to be successful?
They have to play well.
LeBron and AD have to play well.
They can't get hurt.
And play healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what they need to do. They need Austin Rivers to step up. They need to add maybe two more pieces and just stay healthy in a tough West. That is what you need to do. It doesn't, like, whether it was J.J. Redick, whether they hired James Borrego or J.B. Bickerstaff or Sam Cassell, like, that plays zero factor into what I think the Lakers are going to do next year.
I'm with you on that front. Redick also said he's done podcasting. So RIP, here is the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I am, for the time being, and hopefully it's a very, very long time, I am excommunicated from the content space. So there would be no podcast. We'll do something when I have a breather from what we have coming up. I'm going to be drinking out of a fire hose for the next month. But at some point, we'll just do something for all the people that listened, and we'll have a small little video. But I'm done with podcasting for now.
Who's the Pope of the podcast space? You can't declare yourself excommunicated.
Goodbye,
sir.
JJ.
Someone has to excommunicate you.
I don't know who his podcast is with anymore. He's moved around so much.
Yeah, he was on The Ringer for a little bit.
It was his own company. Okay. He started his own company.
He did like the Odyssey Entercom thingamajig. He did Ringer. He's been all over the place.
I mean, if Draymond's doing a podcast, why can't JJ? Honestly, soft boy.
Hmm.
Always be podcasting. Agreed. Oh, now you give up? What if it doesn't work out? You got to keep those numbers up so that when you go back into podcasting, theoretically, you can. And listen, everyone thinks that they can just show up and do a podcast. You got lots of, I mean, what, is this podcast going to be so bad if J.J. Redick just shows up? Does he can get away without prep, probably, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it would be like the Paul George podcast, which, by the way, I watched one of them.
See?
And it's terrible.
But you watched it?
It was absolutely terrible.
You still watched it?
No, but for the rest of my life, I'm going to stick to the clips. Like, whatever goes viral, that's what I'll watch. But basically, what it was the two random friends that he has that are his podcast co-hosts just kind of asked him questions, and he answered them in a very boring way. And that was it. And yes, J.J. Redick could roll out of bed and do that for 45 minutes two times a week and then do some, I don't know, BetterHelp ads, some MeUndies. I don't know.
I will say, like, I am glad that he's stepping away because then every single topic on every major talk show would be, J.J. Redick still podcasting? Yes. Is he really focused on being the Lakers coach?
Yes. You need to have I think you need to win a championship, especially as a coach. To be a podcast, because didn't like Pete Carroll do a podcast or something? I forgot. Maybe yes. Sean McVay.
It was with McVay, or no, it was Flying Coach with Steve Kerr.
Oh, Steve Kerr, that's who did the podcast. And they're probably all guests on his podcast. But
the first episode it was just them, and then there was always guests the whole time.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do is like
guests.
It will also be successful. You have to be Steve Kerr on the front end.
That too. All right, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. The Houston Rockets are hunting big game. Who are they going to get? We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.